It's a brand new day. Hey. Wake up every morning and say, it's a brand new day. Hey.
Hello, this is Regina Johnston, your podcast host. Welcome to Origin, where we look at current events through the filter of a presupposition that there is a plan A, an original plan that gives context and clarity when it comes to present-day elephants in the room. Joining me at the table are my friends and co-ministers, Jenna McAfee and Kylie Rose. We are women of different life seasons with unique stories to tell, daring to talk about the tensions of the day. Grab a cup of coffee and join us each season at the table of Origin, where we aren't afraid to talk about the hard stuff, the fun stuff, the deep stuff, and well, just all the stuff. Hope to see you soon around the table.
It's a brand new day. Hey.
All right, we are back at the table of Origin. We are picking it up and putting it down this season. So at the table are my friends, Kylie Rose and Jenna McAfee. How you doing?
We're good. It's a rainy day here in Texas.
It's rainy and cold.
Yes.
It is.
Is that your favorite?
No.
It is sometimes if I'm inside by my fire, just for a very limited time.
Right. We Texans are kind of spoiled.
We are.
We like our sunshine. We like our outdoor time.
I mean, it just makes you happier.
Right.
You know?
I know. We need that vitamin D.
We do.
So... Well, today we're disarming deception with the truth of the word, and this week we're disarming a really big thought. It happened. It must be God's will. And I don't know about you guys, but when we say that, where does your mind go? Like, does it go to the good things or does it go to the not so good things?
The hard things for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I always say everything that happens, you know, like it's not by accident, you know, and I see the blessings, when I hear that statement, I think about hard things.
Yeah, yeah. I think my mind more often goes to hard things, and I think it's just because that's the question I'm often trying to answer for other people.
Right. Right.
But I do remember a few seasons about, you know, where I questioned, like...
Right.
God, why are you allowing this?
Right, right.
Why didn't you keep this from happening? Like, and in those seasons, I had to dig deeper. Yeah. You know, I couldn't just stay there in that question. I had, first of all, and we're going to walk through some of these processes of thought as we talk today. So if you're in that situation right now, stay tuned because it is not just a pat answer that takes care of your heart
right.
in that situation.
Right.
We have to dig deeper, which means we have to hang around. We can't just up and leave, you know, our relationship with the Lord. We have to hang around for Him to answer those questions. Because to some degree, He will speak to us. And we, our thinking will be transformed. It'll be expanded and we'll be changed. So... we realize that we're either in a difficult season right now, or that we just came out of one, or we're about to be in one. Okay. God forbid, but it's the truth. So we want to begin by saying that if you're in the middle of this situation, be encouraged. We want you to walk away with hope.
Yes.
We want you to know that you know that you know God is with you.
Yes.
And He will never leave you. And He does not minimize our pain.
No.
And He doesn't waste it.
Right.
It has value.
Yeah.
So Proverbs 4:20 through 22 says this, pay attention to my words. Let my words penetrate deep into your heart that they may bring life and healing to your whole body. So that's what we ask, Lord. We ask that you speak to the hearts who are listening this morning. Who are listening at whatever time they're listening, that you would have your way in their lives and bring healing to them in whatever situation they find themselves today.
Yeah. So one of the things, this is a hard subject. And so what we want to do today is we want to talk about the things that we know, that we're absolutely sure of, and let Holy Spirit, let God fill in the rest for you in your situation. But one of the things too, we don't want to overlook the hard questions, the tensions that come in this, because when something really hard happens, a lot of times our first thought is, why God? And so then we're like, well, is God good? Yeah. So that's one of the questions. Is God good?
Yeah.
You know, did he let this happen? Is he in control?
Right.
And what is he in control of?
And where is he?
Yeah. Right. Where are you, God?
What are you doing? You know? Why are you doing
I'm crying
it?
Out to you. Right. Where are you?
Right.
And so we're not going to overlook these questions. We want to disarm. We want to get the truth in there and disarm the deception with the truth. So the first thing we know is this. There are multiple forces at work. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at once. He's all those things. But because we have free will and because Satan's not bound, there are other forces at work in our world today. We want to look at what we know about God, what we know about us, and what we know about Satan. But we want to start with this first foundational truth. God is good. He's good.
Yeah.
And his unfailing love is forever.
Yeah.
You can find that in Psalm 100, verse 5, and really multiple places throughout Scripture. But the truth is, his love never fails. It's unfailing love. It never fails.
Yeah.
It's always working. He's always accomplishing his purpose.
Right.
On the earth. And did you realize that God fights for us? And he fights with love.
Yeah.
Which is that. Like, that's so... Yeah. Not of the world.
Yeah.
The world fights with weapons, and his weapon is love. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Love that. So the first point we want to look at, the first truth, is that God is sovereign.
Yeah.
So that's that word sovereign, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what does that mean?
It's hard at times to understand, because a lot of times when we think of sovereignty, we think of someone who just can control everything. And,
right.
And who does control everything. But then, so to square that with the idea that we have choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of times we think of a king.
Right.
You know, like this earthly king.
Right.
It may
this
not be a good king.
Authoritarian
right.
rule.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what we would call a sovereign. But God is sovereign, and we want to look at a couple of scriptures to talk about that. One is in 1 Chronicles 29:11, and it says this, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours, and this is your kingdom. But I love this, we adore you as the one who is over all things."
Yes.
So we have a different relationship. It's not that earthly king,
yeah,
you know, and subject.
Yeah.
It's different. And then here's a totally different kind of focus too. If this is the one-on-one God we have in Psalm 139, verses 2-4. And it's talking to God. It's saying, you know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts. Even when I'm far away, and you see me when I travel, when I'm at home, you know everything I do, and you even know what I'm going to say before I say it, Lord. You know, we think about how, you know, spouses do that, friends do that, you know, like they already know what the person is thinking. That's how close God is to us, how intimate. And, you know, we sing this song that says that he's over the universe and over every heart. And I think these are two extremes, really, over the universe, right. But over my heart,
right.
Too. And that's what these two verses really speak of. He is the same God,
yeah.
The same God. Another truth that we know about God, you know, we really want to establish God's goodness first, right? Every good gift is from God. Every good gift is from God. And so I love this scripture in James 1:16-17. Because it says, don't be misled, my
right.
brothers and sisters. That means what? We could be misled.
We could be.
Right.
Yeah, the possibilities there.
And so that happens to us too, right? As believers
right.
for a long time. And he says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifted shadow. That means he's good from beginning to end. He never changes. And you know what? Last session, we were talking about how the world's view of love is like a shape-shifting.
Right.
But God's is what?
It's rock solid.
Rock solid. Yeah. So that's what we're seeing here, too. He's a good father. He's good. And he's the author of good. And here's another one, Romans 8:28. Maybe a lot of you have even heard this one before. It says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. No matter what comes your way, you can trust he's working, and he's working for good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we see that he's sovereign. He is in control. He does not change. I think you even said the word immutable. He doesn't change. And what I think we're tempted to do is whenever we're experiencing something hard, we change our theology or what we know about God. We minimize it to what we're experiencing or what we're feeling in the moment.
That's right.
You know, like what I'm feeling is not good. Therefore, God is not good. I'm feeling out of control. Therefore, God is not in control. And I think that, you know, you hear these, and some of you, maybe you're hearing it for the first time, but maybe the temptation, if you have been raised in the church, like, I already know this.
Right.
But I think that whenever we're going through something hard, what you know in your head, it forces you to look at it.
Right.
And then you have to solidify that on a deeper level. And so,
that's true.
Is he good? Is he sovereign? Yeah, he is. So he's sovereign. He is the giver of good gifts. And then another thing we know about God that scripture reveals about him is that he is light. Mm-hmm. That God is light and there is no darkness in him. 1 John 1:5 tells us that. So a truth about God, he gives good gifts and he came to give abundant life. He is light and he gives life.
You know that there's no darkness in him really speaks to me. Like he can't do that because there's nothing in him that's dark.
Right.
Like it's hard for us almost to get that because we in this earthly body, we are not that all the time. No. We're a mixture.
We see through a different lens for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's why it's hard for us to grasp these truths about God. I think even if we understand these aspects of him, I don't know. I was just kind of wondering this morning, do we have the ability to understand these things fully with our limited human minds? I don't know, you know.
So do you think the hard things help us understand some of those as we go through them?
I do,
Yeah.
And I can say that from experience,
right.
You know. Like, I would have been very comfortable receiving the pat answer from you. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. And I would have been comfortable saying it and hearing it until I experienced something hard.
And then it makes no sense.
And then I'm like, are you really good? And that's when I have to do what Regina was saying at the beginning. That's when I have to sit on the floor and look at myself and look at God and like really wrestle through this in his word.
Yes.
You know, and
we, you know, Jenna and I were just bantering back and forth this morning some about Job because that's where we're reading in our 365 reading. And we were talking about how that, you know, Job's friends obviously didn't comfort well.
Right.
But they didn't seem to have empathy for what Job was going through. They didn't seem to be able to put themselves in his shoes. And, you know, we talked about that possibly Job was the same kind of friend before all this happened to him.
Yeah.
Possibly he could not empathize with the down and outer, you know. Right. The Bible says he didn't sin in all of this that he went through, but possibly he just could not empathetically wrap his heart around people who were going through hard times. When you don't experience it.
Right. It's harder.
So in his journey, he wrestles with these same questions.
Yes.
Where are you, God? Who are you, God?
Yeah.
Why are you allowing this, God? And he comes out on the other end of it, being able to say, experientially who God is.
Yeah. And I feel like that is even like a practical takeaway, like from the story of Job is, if you're not familiar with the story, this guy loses everything, everything,
right?
His kids, his wealth, his health, anything and everything that you would hold on to, like he lost it. And it's interesting. And I feel like it gives us permission, because some of us have never been given permission to bring that kind of honesty to God.
Yeah.
You know, like when I come to God, I have to like keep my head down, and it's this very, and it is a reverential experience, but he is a father.
Yeah.
And he invites us, like Job, he invites him to, he can ask those hard questions of God, and God responds. That's the other thing, you know, like you see Job bring these hard questions.
Not instantly.
You see him wrestling, and then you see God respond. And what his response is, he actually doesn't even point, he never answers why, because that's really the overarching question. And
but Job still asks.
It's debunked.
We still ask.
Yeah. Like he's debunking, the book of Job debunks this idea that if I do good things, then good things will happen to me. And if I do bad things, then bad things will happen to me. And, but God never answers why all that happened to Job. What he says is, I want you to focus on who. Like, you're just asking the wrong question, Job.
Right.
It's not why. I need you to shift your focus back to me. And so, and when we do that, these are the things that we discover about him. He is sovereign. He is a good gift giver. He is life, light, and he gives life. So even if you feel like what you're experiencing, it feels like something is dying, or maybe someone did physically die, and you are feeling the repercussions and the pain of that, his word promises that he redeems everything.
Right.
He can redeem anything and everything, and he can bring life even from things that look so dead and feel so, so dead. So one of the things we read in scripture, it's John 10:10, and it says, this is Jesus. He says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And I think you really have to kind of hone in on that word eternal.
Yes.
You know, on this side of heaven, we're going to experience pain, but that is the hope that we talked about, is we're only here for a moment in time.
Right.
We're not going to know pain forever. And that gives us hope in the midst of the pain, is that it's just for a moment. So life here and forever, he is not just concerned about this life. Jesus is not just simply concerned about our 70, 80, 90 years on earth. He is concerned about those, right? Like he cares about our day in and day out. And Jenna was like establishing that for us. While he is so involved in like everything going on a global scale, he is also very involved with you and with me. Like the word says, he knows the number of hairs on our head. He cares about you and the things that you're walking through and feeling. But he's also concerned about our destiny. He's concerned about our destination. Where are we going to go when all of this is said and done? When our time on earth is over in just a matter of moments within the grand scheme of eternity, where are you going to be? Where are you going to spend eternity? Yeah. It's these hard moments in our lives that reveal who God is, and it gives us a deeper understanding of him, his goodness.
Right.
And it settles us. It settles us even in the midst of hardship. He teaches us to cling to something that cannot be shaken, and that's himself.
Yeah. You know, I think it's hard for us to grasp because we live in this 70 or 80 years.
Yes.
Like we live here
so
in this.
Everything.
It feels like everything.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like you have to pull yourself back and look up and see the scheme of things.
Yeah.
And maybe as you grow older, you see it more.
Right.
I think I have, as I've seen it more, but still, we're just so, we're so in this world.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So I think the overarching question was, is God good? And we see it over and over and over again. Scripture tells us he is good. His love is unfailing. It has no end. It has no beginning. It's forever. We see it in scripture. We even experience it. I mean, we are talking about the hard experience of life, but we see it in the sweetness too.
Right.
There's so many sweet things that we like only a kind God could have done that for me. I mean, even in the hardest moments of my story, I see his kindness. Yeah. He pulled me out. He sustained me, even though he didn't have to. Yeah.
Sometimes so in hindsight, yeah. you know.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So the truth about God is a resounding yes. He is good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. So when we're going through those things that are causing us to wrestle with these big subject matters, these big questions, it's very helpful if we hang our hat not on what we feel,
right,
but on what we know.
Yes.
And so we've just talked about what we know about God. Let's talk just a moment about the truth about people. And we're his creation. You know, he created us in his image. But the bottom line is it wasn't very long after creation that death came to man as a result of the fall. So we see this in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. The Lord God warned him, that's Adam, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. So the truth about people is this. We chose death.
We did.
When we had life out before us, we had a choice between life and death. We chose death. And you may say, well, I didn't do that. I wasn't there. That was many years ago. But when Adam and Eve did that, it was like a domino effect.
Right.
You know,
right.
That the dominoes were all laid out through the ages and the years where if that little one was pushed over, it just knocked the next one and the next one and the next one. And so we chose death. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. I mean, that's God's heart. Oh, yeah. That you would choose life.
Yeah.
Like, I've laid it out here before you. And so the progression from Adam and Eve in the garden, they chose death knowingly. It just kind of has tended towards that through time. You can see the cycle where the Israelites would choose God for a bit, but then they would choose to sin again, which would bring, you know, death into their life because the fruit of sin is death.
Right.
And it may not be a physical death, but definitely a spiritual death. The fruit of sin is death. And so the truth about people is we have choice.
Yeah.
We have a choice.
Yeah, right.
And we can choose, even in our hard times, to hang our hat on what we know about God,
right,
or hang our hat on our feelings. And our feelings can take us all over the map.
Yeah.
So another truth about people is if we're going to share in Christ's glory, the Bible says we also need to understand and share in his suffering. Where you're like, I don't want to do that.
No.
I don't. I mean, it's like, you know, this scary ride that you go on. Like, that was a horrible roller coaster ride. I'm not standing in line to do that again. You know, I'm not raising my hand. I'm not getting at the front of the line. Same thing with the suffering. However, if we don't understand and identify with Christ in his suffering, we don't understand the fullness of what he's done for us.
Right, right.
And so, and we don't understand how he can rescue us in the middle of it.
Yeah.
We don't understand really what he redeems us from.
Yeah, right.
We just don't have a clear and working experience from which to even share with someone else what all he can do. So here's what the Bible says in Romans 8:17. Since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we're going to share in his glory, we must also share his suffering. So the Bible says we are co-heirs with Christ. And Paul says in Philippians 3:10, my goal is to know him, to know Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So if we're going to know the power of his resurrection, and yes, everybody wants to know that power, well, what are you going to resurrect from?
That's interesting.
The suffering.
Yes.
So you have to know the height and breadth and depth of who God is.
Right.
And this is the way we learn to know him.
Yeah.
The way to life, the Bible says, is death. I mean, Jesus, the way Jesus thinks, the way God thinks is so not like we think, not like the world we live in. And so how do we then endure this suffering? Well, we know we will experience it. Christ experienced it in every way imaginable.
So one way that he experienced it that really, like, it can take me right to the heart is that he was betrayed with a kiss. Like, when he was getting ready to be crucified, to be arrested, to go through, to go before, you know, the priest and the government, and Judas, one of those closest to him, who had spent 3 years day and night with him, lived life with him, eaten with him, like been blessed by him. He chose to betray Jesus to the governing authorities. And he said, this is how you're going to know I'm going to kiss him. And he goes up and kisses Jesus, and Jesus knows. He knows that his friend is betraying him with a kiss.
For money.
That is personal. You know what? That is suffering. But I think, you know what? We experience that kind of vulnerable, personal suffering as well. Like some of you listening, you may have had a spouse walk out on you.
I mean, that's just a walk gut out. Punch. It's just a gut punch.
Just walk out. You know, maybe they just said, you know, I just don't love you anymore.
Or
I never did. Or maybe they choose someone else. You know, and you're like, you're not chosen anymore. That's hard. You know, maybe you've been abused by family members, like even as a child or as an adult, physically, you know, sexually, emotionally, however, that's hard. That's hard. That is like being betrayed by someone who should be taking care of you. So Christ made himself vulnerable and realized he is our high priest because he went through every single thing you will go through. There's something that he identifies with us in that. And knowing that somehow helps.
The knowledge of that helps us cope.
It does.
And so we realize we can go through whatever we're going through in Christ, with Christ. We're comforted by someone, this Christ who has gone through the same thing we're going through. I mean, that's what we want. That's what support groups are. They're gathering together people who have either gone through what we're going through, or they're going through it at the same time. We have that comfort with Jesus. He totally understands. And even if no one else has been through what we're going through, which they have. But if we feel like we're not associated with anyone else that is going through it, we can be associated with the God on high who loves us because he's gone through what we're going through before us.
As a man. Fully man. He
not
knows.
As God. But as man. As human. And so he knows. He knows the pain. He knows the heartbreak. He knows the sense of being totally alone.
The anguish. I mean, like it would just be such anguish of soul and spirit.
He knows. He knows. And so not only can we enter into the understanding of his, he enters into ours. I love that. And he comforts and he shows us how to walk through it. So I love that. So here's a question. Is God in control?
Is he in control? Yes. We talked about, we established at the beginning how he is king of everything, that he is sovereign. He is the supreme ruler with ultimate power. He is the creator. Anything that is because he put it into place. Any system, seen or unseen, he created it. But here's the deal, and this is the part that we wrestle with, is he gives us free will. And it's actually the most dignifying thing that he gives us. He has the power to do anything. But he did not want to force us to love him back because he knows that that is not love.
He lays it down.
And one of the things we talked about last week is He did not extend love to us because he needed something back from us. It's not this like parasitic relationship, like you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Like it wasn't a God who had something missing, who reached down to humans because there was some missing piece of him. He was in perfect communion with himself, his son, and the Holy Spirit. He chose us because he wanted to.
Yeah.
And he wanted us to choose him back.
Yeah.
He didn't want to force us.
Yeah.
And so, because he's given us this free will, this ability to choose, that sometimes things happen that are not his will, right? So sometimes the things that we're experiencing, the hardships we're experiencing, sometimes that is the consequence. Sometimes that is the residue of the choices that we have made.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about sin, and I think at the heart of sin, it always kind of boils down to that question, like, is God good? I don't believe that he's good. So I'm going to choose this. I don't believe that he has good intentions for me. I don't think he is. He knows the best for me. So I'm going to make a choice that I think is best for me. And so.
Okay. So every time we experience something bad or something hard, are you saying that we've chosen that?
No.
Because of our choice, we have choice and we've chosen that?
We have choice. Sometimes what we are experiencing is a consequence of our sin.
Right.
And sometimes it's because we live in a fallen world.
Right.
You know, there are things, whenever we sinned in Genesis 3, you know, essentially that relationship was severed, you know, and we experience sometimes the consequences of other people's choices, not just ours. We live in a broken world. He is coming again, though.
Yeah.
It won't stay broken forever.
Yeah.
So sometimes the fallout that we're experiencing, it is because of something that we willingly did, knowing that that was not God's best for us. And sometimes it is the result of living in a broken, sinful world.
Yeah.
All those things, they coexist.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the deal. At the same time he gave me choice, he gave you choice.
Right.
Well, I mean, I may want to selfishly pray, well, God, you saw how Kylie did me. You know, make her come and apologize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's chosen not to do that.
Right.
Now, can he work in your heart?
Right.
Yeah, if you'll let him.
Yeah.
You know? But so my situation is affected by other people's choice as well.
Right.
It's that fallen world syndrome that we all live in.
Right.
So we've looked at what we know about people.
Yeah.
Let's look at what we know about Satan. What's the truth about Satan?
So we see some things about him in Ephesians 2:2. It says, you used to live in sin, just like, this is Paul, he's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Who is the devil? The commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So he is at work in those who refuse to obey God. That's what he does. We get to choose. We choose God, or we choose the enemy. And that is the thing about this. What we are engaging in, there is no neutral zone. You know, no choice is a choice. Ignorance is not bliss in the kingdom. You cannot have your foot in this kingdom and have your foot in that one. Because
right.
when you do, you will forfeit your authority in both. You have to choose. You have to choose. And so the enemy, what we know about him is he loves to lead anyone who refuses to obey God. He loves it. He is waiting. He's watching. And it's not that we live in fear, but it does call us to live with a sense of awareness. Another truth about Satan, he's over the evil rulers of the unseen world. Ephesians 6:12 says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You and I, we are engaging in a spiritual warfare. So, sometimes it's seen, right?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, we're feeling that maybe there is someone who is treating you terrible at work, or even you were speaking of some of the horrible things that we do,
right?
Or things that have been done to us. That is spiritual warfare. You know, that
Absolutely.
Is spiritual warfare. And so the enemy, he is the commander of dark forces at work. We talked about how God is light. The enemy is, he is the prince of darkness.
Yes.
And I will say this, though. It is not an equal opposite.
That's right.
He Hallelujah. Is a defeated foe.
Yes.
He is not the equal opposite of God's light. He is a defeated foe.
He's not all powerful.
He is not all powerful. Yeah, he is limited. And another thing that's interesting, we're talking about Job. You know, you see this dialogue at the beginning. You know, you're standing in the court of heaven and you see this dialogue between Satan and between God. And what's interesting in the original language is it speaks of God allowing Satan right. to speak, allowing him to approach, dismissing him when he is ready for the conversation to be done, telling him where his boundaries are. You can go this far and then you will stop.
And Satan knows yes. it full well.
Yes. It's as though you get this impression of Satan being on a leash throughout the whole right. book, throughout the book. And so God is in control. Satan has some control because we gave him that control by sinning.
Well,
you know,
yeah. We still do give him
exactly.
control.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not just a one-time game.
Right. I think that's one of the things as a new believer, it took me a while to see that there's this battle, yes. ongoing battle all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
And I need to be aware.
Right. Yeah. And
sorry,
so,
oh, yeah,
so another truth about Satan is he really has one objective, and that is to steal from you, to destroy
yeah.
any good thing that God wants to do in and through you, and to kill you ultimately. Physically, spiritually, emotionally,
right.
he wants to take any good. We are talking about how God is the giver of good gifts.
Right.
Satan is the opposite of that. He wants to take anything that is good from you. So the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's John 10:10. So what we see here, what we want you to see is that we have two opposing kingdoms, opposing lives and opposing purposes. We can see that God is, he is good and he wants to work good in and through you. He wants glory for himself and good for you. And we see that the enemy actually wants the very opposite.
Yeah.
And he knows that by using hardship, that if he can seed that question,
yes.
the same question he posed from the very, very beginning, even to Adam and Eve,
did.
Is God really good?
Yeah.
Is he really good? We see him tempting Jesus
yes.
in the wilderness with that. Is he really good?
Yeah.
Is he really good? Did God really say?
Yeah.
You know, and so he is. He's good. And
yeah.
you see these opposing truths, these forces just in opposition all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Day in and day out.
Okay. Well, so let's just kind of recap. We're talking about the deception. If it happened, it must be God's will. And I think we're laying the groundwork for this is just not true. Whatever happens is God's will. A lot of people will just say that flippantly. Well,
yeah.
whatever happens is yeah. God's will, you know.
Yeah.
But we know if someone sins, that's not God's will.
Right.
Or it, and we know that it's God's will for all to be saved, but not all are saved.
Right.
So we get the fact that, you know, this thought of whatever happens is God's will, even through those two simple thought processes right there. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent, but not everyone is repenting. 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." But that's not necessarily what happens. Is death God's will? No. Death is not God's will.
No.
That's not how he planned it. He planned, when he made Adam and Eve in the garden, he planned for humankind to live forever.
With him.
Eternity. He
yeah.
planned us with eternity in mind. And still he worked it out so we could have eternity. I love that about him. So, you know, it's not true that whatever happens must be God's will. With that knowledge, then, this sense of things can happen that are not necessarily the desirable things that we want to happen in our lives, we've established that when those things happen, we need to know who God is. We need to know the truth about people and we need to know the truth about the enemy, then how do we live that out?
So I was thinking about this, and I have a friend who went through something that just totally disrupted her life. It just came and disrupted. It was catastrophic, really. And this is what she says. What do you do when a Mack truck hits you? And it was so visible because it was like that to her. And so we want to talk about this for a little bit. So we've given you truth and proof, but now we want to give you strategies. And, you know, that one of the things is that we know, is that no matter what comes your way, God wants you to know him better. Right. That's a goal. He wants to live with you forever, but he wants you to know him better because, honestly, he wants you to share him with other people, too, because we're his representatives, right? Yeah. We're the ones that make him known in the earth now. Jesus, when he lived on the earth, he did that, but we have him in us, and we get to do that. You know, we've talked about Job, and so one of the things that happened with Job, when he went through this devastating thing that he went through, at the very end, what we see, you know, he lost everyone and everything, but at the end, when God reveals himself, when he talks to Job, and then Job says, you know what, I only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. It's what Job needed. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen you. Now I really know you. It's not just I know about you. Right. Yeah. I know you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so, like we talked about before, God doesn't tell him why, but he tells him what Job needed the most, which was to know him.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know,
it's
what, it's what we need too. And it's like, don't we love when God reveals himself to us?
There's no way really to describe the kind of life you feel when you have a fresh revelation of who Jesus is.
I've heard people talk about it. It's the high.
It is a high.
You know, it is like, it's so awesome that you get into his word and you dig in and you look for him. He says, look for me everywhere and in everything. And so that's what we want to do. So in the end, God wants you to experience healing and health and wholeness.
Yeah.
So this is the truth.
Right.
Like we are raised in a sinful world and we've had things done to us and we've done things that are hurtful. And so our hearts are broken. We're all broken.
We're broken people.
We're broken people. But what God wants for you is to experience healing and health and wholeness, no matter what happens, no matter where the heart comes from. You know what? King David, he was known in scripture as a man after God's own heart. But even so, he took another man's wife. He took her.
Right.
And he made it where that man was killed, the husband was killed. And it's like when God reveals to him that he sinned, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And eventually, that same psalm, Psalm 51, says, and now I minister to others.
Right.
I minister life to others. And that's what he wants. He wants that for us. So what we really want you to see is there's a process. There's this journey that you go from the very first question, why God? You know, is God not good?
Right.
Like there's a journey that you go through, but you don't stay there with that question, right? You can't stay there.
We shouldn't minimize the journey.
No.
The journey's important.
No. And a good friend, I thought about this, they walk through the journey with you.
Yeah.
They won't minimize your pain. They'll listen to your pain. Mm-hmm. They'll listen to the hardest thing you're dealing with, and they'll help put a little truth in there when they can.
Yeah.
Remind you of the truth. Even if they don't go through it themselves, they can help you. So we want to give you three strategies for how to live all the time.
Yeah.
Like in the little things and the big things, so that you have a practice of a strategy of how to live when the really hard thing, when the Mack truck hits you.
Yeah.
You know what to do. But realize you need to live this all the time. And each of these strategies is an action, which is good because it feels like we can actually do something, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we feel like it just happens to us. Yeah. What do we do? But you can do something.
Right. We're not victims.
So what's the first strategy that we want to talk about?
So the first strategy, how do we live? What do we do with this? The first thing is you cast your cares on him. And that is straight from scripture. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and your cares to God because he cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7 in another translation, cast all your anxieties. That's a word we're very familiar with.
Yes.
Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You know, we live in the information age, right? We are a distracted people. We love our phones. Why? Because they short circuit all those negative emotions. Pain, frustration, you know,
so
I don't want to feel
away.
It, so I can distract myself yeah. with it. I can distract myself. I can distract myself. I can go, you know, in an accomplishing society, I can just go do, I can go work myself to the ground so I don't have to deal with it. And really what you're doing is you're prolonging the process of healing and the process of wholeness that you were talking about. Everything that we feel, our hurts, our heartaches, our questions, our concerns, all of it is valid. And what he tells us in scripture that if you will take every single bit of it, all the questions, the ugliest parts, things that have been done to you, things that you have done, things that you are feeling, jealousy, bitterness, anger, you know, that frustration, whatever it is, all those things that are even too embarrassing to say out loud to another human being. He says, I want every single bit of it. Mm-hmm. It's too heavy for you. In fact, it will ultimately end up killing you.
Right.
You know, but I can handle it. Bring it to me. And so he invites us, and we talked about this last week, he invites us to abide, to stay so closely connected. He invites us to do that, to get as close to him as possible and as often as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And to do it all the time. And in that place of relationship, there is a divine exchange. I am giving you my hurt. You are giving me peace. Mm-hmm. I am giving you my pain. You are giving me wholeness. I am giving you my brokenness. You are giving me healing. And there is this divine exchange that happens whenever we constantly are with the Father,
right,
day in and day out. In fact, the word says moment by moment.
Yeah.
And so
manna for today.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so cast all your anxieties on him. To cast, it means to throw or to hurl, to fling, like get that thing off of you, out of you as quickly as possible. Whenever I touch something hot, ow, that's painful. I get it off and out of my hands quickly. And that's really what he is wanting us to do with the things. Like those thoughts, don't let them simmer. Don't let them fester.
Yeah.
You know, that offense, don't let it sit. That unforgiveness, don't build a brick and mortar structure. We acknowledge it and we fling it to Christ as fast as we can. Like that thing is piping hot. It will do damage to us. So we get it to him because
yeah.
he's the only one who knows what to do with it. So how do I live? I cast my cares on him. We also take heart. John 16:33 says, Jesus says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will, not you may, if you're really good. No, you will have trials and you will have sorrows.
Yeah.
In fact, he says you'll have many trials and many sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So what does take heart mean? And we're actually going to figure out what it means by looking at what it doesn't mean. So the opposite of take heart, and we see this in scripture in Luke 18:1, Jesus says, always pray and don't lose heart. So the biblical word for losing heart, it's actually two words. The first is in or with or by, and the second word is evil or bad. So it's when a person is actually immersed in the awareness of problems rather than the awareness of God's nature. So that's a lot of words, but essentially what it's saying is take heart. If you want to lose heart, that means you lost focus.
Right.
If you want to take heart, stay focused.
Right.
Stay focused. And we've alluded to this some, like God never answers the question. Sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't, you know, like, sometimes we're asking the wrong question. It's not why, but who.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we're in the throes of pain, we're in the throes of sorrow, we're in the throes of frustration, we can get paralyzed by the question of why.
Right.
And he's saying, in order for you to take heart, you have to shift your focus off of what you're experiencing onto what you know about me.
Right.
On what you don't know onto what you do know. You know that I am good. You know that I will never leave you. You know I am the giver of good gifts. You know that I am sovereign and in control.
Yeah.
And you know that while I might not pull you out, I will absolutely see you through.
Yeah.
And so, if you want to take heart, you have to be really intentional about your focus. So you turn that problem to God. So he is with us. He has overcome the world. He takes the brunt of everything we experience. He took our burdens at the cross, and we are not alone.
Yeah.
That is what we know, and
yeah.
that is what we shift our focus on.
And the third strategy yeah. then is this. Not only do we cast our care on him, not only do we take heart. These are choices we can
yeah,
make.
Right,
to
yes.
take heart, we take comfort. We take comfort in it's not always going to be like it is right now.
Right.
It's not always going to be that way. In fact, there could come a shift just as quickly as I'm sitting here and speaking it.
Yeah.
There could come a shift in what you're going through. But not only that, we take hope in the future. So the scripture says, with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's glorious children, God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay.
Yeah.
We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies, glory be, he has promised us. So just think, there's going to come a time. You're not always going to be in the situation you're in. Tomorrow can be a brighter day. But not only that, in the future, there's going to come a time where there's no more sorrow.
Wow.
No more sin. No more tears. No more suffering. No more pain. No more sickness. No more death. And no more loss. And this is a hope that we were given when we were saved. So, if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we need to wait patiently and confidently because he will carry it through. This is the thing about God. He will watch over his promises to perform them. That's what
the
word says.
I love that.
So the one thing we really want you to hear today is God is good. So we don't dwell on the why, we dwell on the who.
Yeah. And then I think, and your story does not end here.
No.
It does not end here. So we started in Genesis. We're going to end in Revelation, one of the last two books, last two chapters of the last book of the Bible. Revelation 21, 3-4 says this, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. So God's original design for us is going to be fulfilled in heaven.
Right.
And that's, yeah. and that's what we have to look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, and that is some of the comfort is we have to take ourselves. We have to.
Yeah.
Think ourselves there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we just want to pray before we leave with you. You know, you could be in all kinds of different situations right now. You may not even know this God of all comfort. But hopefully we have made him known to you in very real ways, and he's speaking to you right now. So we just want to close this out for those who know him and those who are going to know him more after this. So Lord, we just come before you in the great and mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we just declare you are good. Lord, you are good. Your love is unfailing. It never fails. It never fails. Lord, you've already shown yourself. Lord, you've shown yourself by sending your very own son to die on the cross for us, to take our place, that we might have life with you forevermore. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to people, Lord. Speak, let them hear you. Awaken them to know that you are with us. We are never alone. Lord, you know us.
You know what we're going to say before we even say it. Lord, we declare every good gift is from you. Every good gift. You cause everything in our lives to work together for good for those who know you and are living for you. No matter what comes, no matter what comes, we can know. We can know. May we see you everywhere we go and in everything we do. Lord, may we know that the thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you've come that we may have life, a life more abundantly now and forever. So, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that you speak to us. Lord, that you walk with us. Lord, that you are with us. Lord, that you have a plan and it's a good plan and you will bring it about. And we just say, have your way, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Well, blessings to you all. We'll see you again at the Table of Origin.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Origin. Go back and listen to other episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and invite your friends. Join us on Facebook at Origin Podcast Global for show notes and other promotional materials. It's a brand